thank you for joining me here on this Friday, March 29th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. We'll go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me as we wrap up this week on Bang the Book Radio. I'll be joined today by one guest. That is Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com. We're a chat about tonight's Sweet 16 games on Friday night. We're talking about the Elite Eight matchups that we already know. Project out the other Elite Eight matchups for Sunday. Also take a look at the NIT, CBI, and CIT as those tournaments come to a close here next week. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. My daily MLB picks and tips piece is being updated daily. 2-3% winners yesterday, a 2% loser. So a plus money day for us yesterday. Got two picks and two leans in the article today. So head on over to bangthebook.com. Make sure you check that out. Also, if you missed it, I brought back the Bettors Box on Thursday, my MLB betting podcast. A lot of good information in that week after week. So if you haven't gotten a chance to check that out, please make sure that you do. Also, we'll have another edition of the Bettors Box here coming up on Monday, and I will do the Monday mailbag at the top of the Bettors Box. So if you have questions for the mailbag, you can hit me up on Twitter at SkatingTripods, or you can email me, adam@bangthebook.com. Speaking of bangthebook.com, we've got, along with my daily MLB picks, Kyle Hunter's daily college basketball picks, Parker Michaels' daily NHL picks, still covering the NBA on a daily basis, still covering soccer, tennis, UFC, NASCAR, golf, you name it. We've got it all going on over there at bangthebook.com. As you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. Check out our Bang the Book YouTube page. Now that I'm back in town, I'll be getting back on videos there with our YouTube page. I'll try to put one up here today. Not sure what the subject matter will be, but I'll try to do some baseball picks and keep doing basketball and NHL stuff as well. So head over to the Bang the Book YouTube page and check that out. Then finally, now that I am home, I've had a chance to settle back in. I'm back in my nice comfy office chair here. I had a great time out in Las Vegas, got to catch up with some old friends, got to meet some new friends, got to do some Wager Talk stuff. And if you haven't checked out those Wager Talk videos, I did two MLB videos with Brian Leonard, also did a video looking at Michigan State and LSU tonight. Good opportunity there for me, good opportunity to get Bang the Book's name out there. Did some radio appearances as well. So, a lot of good stuff going on right now with me personally, and I have a lot of people to thank for that. And of course, Kyle Hunter, my guest here today, being one of those people, Ryan at Bang the Book for giving me the opportunity. And of course, each and every one of you that listens, that reads, whether you're on the Bettors Box notes list or you just read the daily articles, whatever you do by coming over to bangthebook.com and checking out my stuff, checking out the stuff that, our other writers put together by following and even sometimes purchasing from the guests that we have here on the show. All of that has been so beneficial for me, for all of us here at Bang the Book, for the guests on the show. So thank you to everybody out there, especially as we're winding down the daily shows here, as we're mostly just looking at Major League Baseball and, some of the big events like the Masters and horse racing and college football season win totals and all that. As we start to transition to that for the spring and summer here, it's a very good time to thank each and every one of you for being with us throughout these daily shows, dating back to that second week of August. And I believe this is the third or fourth year that we've done the daily show, and it's grown in popularity every year. We've got a very, very loyal listener base, and now we're adding a lot of new listeners as well. So it's been a fantastic ride. I'm so happy for everything that's gone on here for me personally over the last several months, and then for the website as well. So thank you to everybody that has had a hand in that. I greatly appreciate it, to say the least. All right, we start things off here for this edition of Bang the Book Radio with our first and only guest. That is Kyle Hunter from huntersportspicks.com and daily contributor to bangthebook.com. Kyle, how's it going today, man?
Going well, man. Some great college basketball action there last night.
Yeah, for sure. And all right, you know what? What the hell? We Barnes, what are you doing, bro? What happened there with our old buddy?
I was sitting here thinking, I wonder how long it's going to take for you to bring that up. So if there was an over-under set on how long it was going to be till you brought up Rick Barnes, the undercash there. But I think, Rick Barnes, we said all along that nobody should trust his team to make a big run. And I know some people did think that they probably would. And, you know, that was a good game last night, no doubt about that. I thought that Purdue was a tough team to trust. And Matt Painter, they haven't really made a good run under him. And then Barnes is a really tough guy to trust his team. So, you know, I wish I had taken Purdue in that one, but I thought Purdue coming off that Villanova performance being so amazing was a bit of a caution sign there for Purdue. But Purdue played so well. Tennessee makes that huge run, comes back, looks like they're going to win, and then Purdue gets it in the end. And I know people are going to say that the foul on the three was a questionable call. I think he did foul him some. It was, you know, the hip check there. But, you know, to be honest with you, I felt like, you know, they still had overtime after that too. So Tennessee had a chance. You know, Purdue outplayed him in overtime. And, you know, the story of that to me is, you know, Tennessee played so well all year. Well, they were number one for such a long time, or number two or three when they weren't number one, and, you know, then they can't get past the Sweet 16. So I don't think either one of us are shocked, or very many of our listeners would be too surprised either.
Well, speaking of over-unders, I mean, Purdue and Tennessee flies over the total, 193 points in that game. The other three games, not so much. Even with the low totals for Oregon and Virginia and Texas Tech and Michigan, which, you know, truth be told, wasn't really that low of a total in the mid-120s, neither one of those games even sniffed the numbers that were out there. And really, Florida State and Gonzaga never looked like it was getting to that point either.
No, yeah. I wanted to take the Oregon and Virginia under. I wish I would have taken it. I considered taking that one for the article yesterday, and I ended up using that as a, you know, if the live number gets high enough, then you take the under. And obviously the live number didn't get high enough there because, you know, the score was, what, 10 to 10, you know, with 7 minutes left in the first half or something like that. So that one, I was a little bit bummed that I didn't take that in a pregame position in some way, but it's easy to say afterwards, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You say under 119.5 or under 120. It's a hard bet to make. I did have the Texas Tech and Michigan under, and I did have the Florida State and Gonzaga under, so was happy with those. Those were the games at the Honda Center where, you know, the unders have done so well consistently. You know, Michigan, I thought it was kind of funny that Michigan was, what, 0-for-18 from three or something, and then they bring in the bench warmer there with like 20 seconds left, and he makes a three that almost gets stuck in the back of the rim and then falls in to keep their streak going to like 252 straight games, making at least one three-pointer. But definitely shooting percentages were really poor in those Honda Center games. And, you know, I was bummed that the free pick lost on Michigan. Michigan looked really rough there last night. That Texas Tech defense was suffocating, to say the least. And Chris Beard's a tremendous coach. Culver, a really good player that's going to be in the NBA for a long time. And I think, you know, the emergence of Matt Mooney, Moretti, some of those other guys for Texas Tech has really been important for them. You know, they don't only have Culver now. There's other guys that have been a little bit better. You know, certainly Texas Tech impressed me a lot. And then I thought that Florida State and Gonzaga was kind of a similar game as what I would have expected. Gonzaga is a better team than Florida State. Florida State has a lot of athletes. They don't always play under control and run the best sets and things like that. You know, and Mark Few is definitely a better coach than Leonard Hamilton. Florida State makes their runs and seems like they kind of go away from what's working sometimes. And then obviously Kumaji being in foul trouble the whole game was a big problem for them. But, you know, Gonzaga is going to be a tough out. I'm really interested to see that Gonzaga-Texas Tech game. I think that's a fascinating matchup. But, yeah, last night, several low-scoring games. I know that some of the totals here tonight have gone down partly because of those games last night. I will say, you know, I'm not saying that I like overs here tonight, but I think that it's always a bad idea to see, you know, totals on one night go under the total consistently, and because of that, take the under the next night. You know, those games last night don't have anything to do with these tonight.
Speaking of the games tonight, the biggest game on the board here, the one that's the most interesting matchup to me, to say the least, game 675-676. This one coming to you from the CIT. We got biggest game of the night. I don't care about the other eight teams. Nobody even knows who they are. Cal State, Bakersfield, and Green Bay. Green Bay, 5.5-point favorite here, total 155.5. Look, all kidding aside, Cal State, Bakersfield, this is a damn long way away from home to play this late in the season against a team that wants to run up and down the floor. Look, obviously the Sweet 16 games are very interesting. We will talk about them in a second. But these CIT-CBI matchups are so intriguing for a variety of different reasons. And this is another one where you've got a team a long way away from home that's going to have to shoot well to keep pace in a place they've never even dreamed of playing.
Yeah, I was sitting here trying to figure out which game you were going to say was the biggest game of the night, and that was not the one I had in my mind. Yeah, I think that, you know, Green Bay has been pretty good here in the postseason. Their offense has been working really well. Green Bay loves to get up and down. Wink Donner's team's really, really fast, 10th in tempo overall this year. You know, this Green Bay team, 102 points and then 98 points in their two wins here in the postseason. They're not going to get that tonight because Bakersfield is going to try to slow the game down. And they've been pretty good at doing that. I think the key here for Green Bay is whether they're able to get enough defensive rebounds. Bakersfield really good on the offensive glass. You know, I think Bakersfield is a well-coached team. They've played pretty well on the road here. But, you know, it's different to play Fullerton or even Southern Utah, but I will say that's a pretty impressive win at elevation there. This one's different. You know, they're playing a team a long ways away from home, like you said, and a team that runs, plays very different than they do. So who wins the pace battle in this one? I don't know that I'd be excited to lay 5.5 or 6 points here with Bakersfield. Probably my lean here would be under 156. I see this one's going down to 155.5 now. So this is slight lean to the under because I think Bakersfield will not, play that tempo that Green Bay wants like some of the other teams they've been playing have. But, you know, if Bakersfield gets behind early and Green Bay gets ahead and then we've got a spread at, you know, 5.5 or 6 points and there could be a foul fest at the end. So I would lean to the under there. I don't know what I would take on the side. I think this side's a fair number. You know, you could say that 6 points sounds like quite a few points for a Green Bay team, but, you know, they're only okay. The Horizon League's not a great league. But like you said, I mean, would you be excited to take Bakersfield, you know, in the spot that they're in? So I think this is a line that's pretty tight.
Now, we will talk about the four Sweet 16 games here in a second, but I want to mostly focus on the Elite Eight, on the NIT semifinals. But just to finish up here with the CIT, first of all, props to the students at Louisiana Monroe. They played two games here in the CIT. First game, 5,742 people. Last night in the quarterfinals, over 6,000 on hand for the triple overtime game against Texas Southern, which unfortunately Louisiana Monroe did lose in front of those 6,000 fans. But you look at some of the attendance figures for these games, and they don't even crack 1,000 for some of them. 6,000 last night for the Warhawks. So kudos to the fan base for that. Texas Southern awaiting the winner of tonight's Bakersfield-Green Bay game. Hampton and Marshall in the other semifinal. The semifinal's on Tuesday night for the CIT. Any thoughts you want to throw out there for that before we move on to some bigger games?
Well, I want to throw out a general thought here for betting those smaller postseason tournaments here. You know, we talk about early in the postseason tournaments that motivation is everything, and then unders are a good way to look. I jumped the gun here. What I was going to say is unders are a much better way to look at the end of the postseason in those smaller tournaments. If you look at early in the postseason tournaments, the NIT, CBI, things like that, the overs have done really well. And I think the mindset that some people can have sometimes is, you know, look how high scoring these games have been. And they keep getting that up, you know, pretty consistently. So, you know, what do we do? We take the over again. I'm going to give you a stat here. In the semifinals or the finals of the CIT, NIT, or CBI tournament, as long as the total is 136.5 or higher, the under is 48-28 in the last 66. So the NIT has been the best under, and that's because it's at Madison Square Garden. But in general, You know, these smaller tournaments, once you get late in it, you know, if you're this far along, you might as well try to win it. So, you know, early in the thing, you wonder if people really care and the pace will be really fast. But, you know, I think at this point, these teams that are in these tournaments likely, you know, actually want to win the thing and they don't just go out and screw around now. So I would be cautious about taking high overs now. I know DePaul, when they play South Florida coming up on Monday, DePaul's had some really high scoring games here in the postseason. This is that three game, you know, best of three tournament to where it's a little bit different than the rest. I will say South Florida's not going to run with them the way Coastal Carolina, Central Michigan, and Longwood has done. So, you know, I'd be cautious about playing high overs at this point. And certainly, you know, at this point, I think motivation is a little less important than it was at the beginning of the postseason, because, you know, if you get this far along, why wouldn't you try to win it?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing about this is, you know, sometimes in the CBI with that best of three series, you can get some really weird travel spots. Like 2017, Wyoming and Coastal Carolina were the two teams that played in that CBI championship series. Coastal won at home and got blown away in both games in Laramie and the altitude. This year, DePaul in South Florida, you know, you're talking about Tampa and Chicago. So this travel situation is not bad for either one of these programs. So it really won't be the same situational spots in this championship series that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, agreed. You know, this one's not near as bad a spot as with that Wyoming and Coastal Carolina one was. And I remember, you know, the line was, the odds makers knew that was a tough spot and it was hard to know what to do with that. And I remember sitting out and saying, man, you know, that should have been a play on Wyoming there in the altitude, but you know, no drastic spot like that here. And I would say, you know, if we talk going forward to the NIT games, you want to talk about the NIT games a little bit?
Absolutely. Let's go for it.
All right, so Texas and TCU to me is an interesting game because you've got a Big 12 showdown in Madison Square Garden. You know, this is unique in that they've played each other twice already. Texas has been, you know, questionable in the NIT. They've probably fairly fortunate to win the first two games in the NIT. South Dakota State was ahead, you know, with a few minutes left in that game. Texas made a run, and then they went in overtime against Xavier. Then they win pretty easily against Colorado, a team that's been really bad on the road. TCU also has been at home the whole way here. They've been a little bit more impressive. TCU went to Texas and won 69-56 in the last regular season game. So, you know, TCU's won both of the games in the regular season. You would think that Texas would be up for a game like this because, you know, this is a chance for them to get some form of revenge. And, you know, now that they've gotten this far, you'd think they'd be up for it. I think this is an interesting game because you don't see these, you know, conference showdowns in the NIT semifinals very often. I'd be leaning toward Texas here. I think that, you know, this is one of those games that projects as a game that could be pretty physical and where both teams care quite a bit, where a normal NIT game wouldn't be that way.
You know, it's the Texas and TCU game is tough because, I mean, these two teams already play each other in conference. It's not really the type of matchup I'm all that invested in here. You know, I'd like to see a couple of teams that haven't played each other where maybe we, you know, don't have as much of a frame of reference. And what about the other semifinal game, Wichita State and Lipscomb? You know, when I was out in Vegas, there were a lot of people talking about, you know, this Wichita State team, and certainly when they were discussing the win over Indiana, that they think the Shockers are going to be really good next year and make things quite interesting in the AAC. Obviously, we know what Lipscomb's ceiling is. We know what they just did with that buzzer beater over NC State. That game intrigues the hell out of me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great game. Definitely my favorite game as a fan there. You know, what is Wichita State's motivation? You know, what they talked all about the NIT and that they wanted to get Marcus McDuffie back to his old stomping grounds here. And I know that was what they said was, we want to get to Madison Square Garden. Well, you know, now they're there, I would think they'd be pretty motivated to go ahead and win the thing. So I just thought it was kind of interesting that they openly were saying that that's what they wanted to do. So they did get here. You got Lipscomb, who has been tremendous away from home this year. I believe they're still number one in Haslametrics away from home rating. So Lipscomb has been so good on the road. You know, this is not technically a road game, but as we've talked about before, when we see these neutral site games, I want a team to have played really well on the road because, you know, they're certainly not at home. Now, is anybody going to have a home court advantage in this one? I wouldn't imagine there'd be, you know, too many people there from either of these schools. But I've been really impressed with Lipscomb. You know, they have a really veteran team. Garrison Matthews, a tremendous player. Most people don't know enough about him. He shoots it really well, also a good passer. Kenny Cooper, a good player there, who passes it around well and shoots the three pretty well. I mean, this is an excellent game. I don't know who's going to win this game. I think the line is right about on here. You know, to me, Wichita State's been playing so well of late. I think if I had to take a side, I would take Wichita State because of how strong their defense has been. And, you know, Greg Marshall's proven himself as a good coach. Casey Alexander, a really good coach as well. I think this is a good coaching matchup. I would lean to the under. You know, we've lost 2.5 points of value, but, you know, NIT games there at Madison Square Garden, I'm not taking the over.
All right, so let's roll through these Friday night Sweet 16 games here. And, you know, we've talked a lot about these games on the show. And, you know, obviously with the shorter lead time here, I mean, I'm not going to get this up until probably 12:30-ish or so, maybe 12:45. So short lead time, we'll keep it pretty quick here with these games. We'll roll through in rotation order since that's how my odd screen's currently set up. LSU, Michigan State, 6.5 for Sparty here. Total on the game, 149. It's kind of bounced around. It got as high as 153, came back down now to where it opened. So what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, this total's been all over the place. Last night after those games were low scoring, somebody bet this one down to 148, 147.5. And now it's, you know, 149. So this one's been all over the place. There's been a lot of action both ways on this one. As far as the percentages, I did want to say Michigan State 60% of the bets at 53% of the money, 63% of the bets and 70% of the money on the under. So that's why we see the total has gone down compared to what it was for most of the week. But, you know, you've got a Michigan State team here to where I feel like Michigan State's a difficult matchup for LSU. You know, LSU is used to getting a lot of second chance points. Michigan State's good on the glass. You know, LSU is still going to get their chances because they're so good on the offensive glass, but I don't think they can dominate the boards like they can against some people. The only question I have here is, do I want to lay 6.5 points with Michigan State? Because, you know, I like Michigan State to win this game, but you know, LSU is a talented enough team that I don't know, 6.5 points is getting a little high. Earlier it was 5.5, 6 points. You know, that difference between 5.5 and 6.5 points is a pretty decent difference because you can get the backdoor cover a lot easier like that with that 6.5. You know, my question mark about LSU, though, there's been so much going on around this program. It has to be a negative in some way, no doubt. I mean, you've had the head coach that you had the entire season, and then he's not there for your run. Michigan State has Izzo and a really good coaching staff. And, you know, I have to think that LSU usually has a big talent advantage, and they don't have a big talent advantage here. I don't know that they're at a big talent disadvantage, but they don't have the normal talent advantage that they have. I think Michigan State's the team that I would trust more. It's just, you know, 6.5 points is getting a little bit high. I'm not very interested in the side there. I would lean to the under if I had to take something here. You know, this is just a pretty high total for a Sweet 16 game. You can get 149.5. I mean, that's pretty high. LSU, certainly better on offense than defense. Michigan State, a team that, you know, I've said this many times in the past, Michigan State's a tough team to bet totals on. And I will say, of just about any teams, I would say I've been burned as much as any other team on Michigan State by the fact that Michigan State doesn't do exactly what you think they're going to do, because sometimes they'll speed it up, sometimes they'll slow it down. But, you know, if I had to take something in this game, I'd probably lean to the under.
I mean, I like Michigan State a little bit in this spot. I think there are a couple of things that are kind of tough to quantify here about this game. The first is, how much does that gap between Izzo and the interim actually count towards the spread? You know, is there a number we can put on it? I'm not really sure. But also, I just think that schematically, this is a bad matchup for LSU. They have to get to the rim. What does Michigan State prevent teams from doing? getting to the rim and having success. So if LSU has to become a jump shot oriented team, maybe they do get some of those offensive rebounds that you mentioned, but they're not a team that hit a significant amount of their jump shots this year. They played a lot at the rim. Michigan State, the fourth best defense in the country at the rim. So that's my worry about this game and why I agree with you on the under lean. How does LSU score in this game? You know, if they're not knocking down shots from the outside, and look, they very well could. I mean, you know, they didn't do it during the regular season. They were 286 in three-point percentage. But, you know, if they shoot the ball well, they're in this game. If they don't, I think this one could get out of hand.
Yeah, and I will say, I think if I had to take a side, I agree with you, I'd take Michigan State. I just trust them more. And I think that's a great point about Michigan State's two-point defense. You know, when you're inside trying to get those putbacks, you know, I don't think they're going to get as many offensive rebounds as normal. But even when they do, Michigan State has plenty of shot blockers. You know, this is a good Michigan State interior defense. So, you know, it's not going to come as easy for LSU when they're down in the paint as it normally does. So, you know, LSU is going to have to make some of those outside shots. And like you said, they really haven't been that good at that this year. They shot 32% from three-point range. So it's 290th in the country. If they don't shoot a little better than that tonight, I think they're in trouble.
All right, so we move on to the next game here on the card. Again, I'm just going by rotation number because that's the way my odds screen was looking. Virginia Tech and Duke. Duke's 7.5 or 7-point favorite, excuse me. Total 143.5. This one hasn't had as much movement, but the under is the preferred side here on the total. Are you looking at the total? Are you looking at the side? What do you think about this one?
Well, first, the percentages. Duke getting 57% of the bets. Virginia Tech 62% of the money. So you could certainly say there's some sharp money on Virginia Tech there. The under, 53% of the bets on the under, 68% of the money on the under. So also some sharp money there on the under. I would say, first of all, this is one of those classic, you know, which way do you want to look at this game? Because Duke just had a close game. I know a lot of people like to say, well, they just had a close game, so they're going to blow out Virginia Tech. I can understand that line of thinking somewhat. However, you know, I feel like, you know, Duke is probably playing about as hard as they can in all these games. I don't think that, you know, you take a game off in the NCAA tournament. I think UCF played really well last game. I don't think that was so much about Duke playing poorly as it was UCF really shot the ball well, played really well. And they were a difficult matchup. You know, we said UCF's going to be a tough out. Boy, they definitely were. I think Virginia Tech has a pretty high upside. You know, when Justin Robinson's healthy, this is a team that is probably a top 10 or 11 team in the country. You know, Buzz Williams gets his team to play hard all the time. I would lean toward taking the points here. You know, I will say I'm not excited about going against Duke because I know that they have such a high upside and you know, this isn't an easy matchup for either side. You know, I would say Duke's size would be my concern. You know, pretty big height advantage here. Virginia Tech's a scrappy team. I think they're going to fight and play as hard as they can the whole way. I wouldn't want to lay 7 points against a Virginia Tech team with the kind of upside that they have. I feel like that's a pretty big number. And Justin Robinson has looked pretty good here in these first couple games. I'm curious to see what Virginia Tech does as far as the tempo here. I don't know that I know the answer here. I think I would lean to the under based on the fact that I think it makes more sense for them to slow this game down. You know, do they really want to get into a shootout with Duke? I wouldn't think so. You know, if they get into the 80s or upper 70s or something with Duke, I don't think that their chances would be near as good as if they turn this into a half-court game. So, while I don't know the game plan or anything, I would say, you know, looking at it from the outside, I think Virginia Tech would have a better chance if they try to slow this game down.
Yeah, I think the under is probably my favorite play of tonight, probably my favorite play of the Sweet 16 here, because Virginia Tech is going to force Duke to shoot it from the outside. I know Zion Williamson's there, so maybe it's a little bit different from the first game, but they're going to force Duke to have to shoot the basketball here. And Duke hasn't done it well most of the year. Of course, they did it well against UCF, well enough to survive in advance, but you know, 21 of their 50 field goal attempts against Virginia Tech in the first game were three-pointers. And that's just not a recipe for success for this Duke team shooting 30.7% from three for the year. You know, Virginia Tech, second highest three-point rate against in the country, 50.4%. And the reason is because they play, you know, they've taken some of those Virginia hallmarks with that pack line defense. Give Buzz Williams credit for that. Now they've got their scorer back in the fray that can also help them dictate the pace of this game a little bit more, probably. I love the under. If Duke makes shots and I get burned and this game goes over 143.5, so be it. But I think Virginia Tech has the right blueprint to make this game tough on Duke. Now, whether or not Virginia Tech scores enough to pull the upset, I don't know. But I do like the under quite a bit here.
Yeah, I think you made a good point there on how much Virginia Tech forces other teams to shoot threes. I think that was a great point because, you know, maybe Duke makes threes. And like you said, maybe they just bust a bunch of threes and the under loses. And that doesn't mean it was a bad bet. You know, I mean, that's one thing that I think that we try to really drive home here is that, you know, just because a bet loses doesn't mean it was the wrong side beforehand. You know, sometimes things like that are going to happen. If, you know, Duke goes 10 for 18 from the 3-point line and then the game goes over the total by 3 or 4 points, then you had a good bet. You know, Duke just managed to make threes. And, you know, in a small sample size like this, that can certainly happen. I will say I totally agree with your thoughts that, you know, Virginia Tech does match up as a team that could give Duke's offense a difficult time because that's the way that Duke can lose games is if they shoot too many threes. You know, if they get inside all the time, they're going to beat you. If you make them shoot those outside jumpers and do a decent job on the defensive glass, then that's where you have a chance. So I do agree with you that the under makes sense here, and I would lean toward Virginia Tech as well.
All right, Houston and Kentucky, 2.5 the number. We touched 3 for a little while earlier on in the week. Now it's pretty much 2.5 market-wide. Total down from 135.5 to 133.5. I'm surprised that we aren't sitting 3 because this is one of those games where, you know, the public has a lot of influence come March Madness. They know Kentucky. They don't know Houston as well. Houston does have the gaudy record, but public bettors are going to trust Kentucky in this spot. Little surprised we're not 3 market-wide. Of course, Bovada is the only 3 that's still out there. How do you see this game, Kyle?
Well, I think probably the question mark here is P.J. Washington. You know, it seems like if Washington plays, he's not going to be himself. He may not play in this game either. So probably part of the reason for the line being what it is. You know, to me, this is a difficult game to handicap on the side. You know, you've got a Houston team that is clearly a high upside team. You know, I think Kelvin Sampson's done a really good job with this Houston team. The question mark for me with Houston, you know, Houston hasn't really played teams nearly as good as Kentucky this year. I mean, they played the 78th toughest schedule, according to KenPom. You know, non-conference, they didn't really play anybody. Kentucky has played a really tough schedule throughout the course of the season, 26th toughest. Kentucky's defense is 8th in the country in defensive efficiency, and they've faced the 12th toughest slate of offenses. Houston, you know, they're 12th in defensive efficiency. They faced the 108th toughest slate of offenses. So while Houston's defensive numbers look pretty good, and I do think Houston's a good defense, they haven't faced the same teams that Kentucky has. I think Kentucky just has more really good athletes, a deeper team. Even without P.J. Washington, I would lean slightly here to Kentucky. I will say that, you know, I think Kentucky didn't look all that impressive against Wofford, and that could have part of the reason why people are taking Houston in this one. Having said that, you know, people could say Fletcher McGee went, what was it, 0 for 11, 0 for 12 from 3 or something like that. Those were some tough shots. You know, I know he makes those shots a decent amount of times, but you got to credit Kentucky's defense some for that because, you know, he was not shooting open looks. Kentucky has a very good defense. To me, you know, Calipari has proven himself enough in the tournament that I would trust his teams to be, you know, well prepared. I would lean toward Kentucky here. This is a game where I would say this may be my least favorite as far as taking a side here. It's just a difficult game because P.J. Washington means a lot to Kentucky. Houston, though, like I said, hasn't played the same type of teams that Kentucky has, and you wonder if Houston can make that jump or not.
All right, so the last of the Sweet 16 games here tonight, Auburn, North Carolina, the Tar Heels, 5.5-point favorite. Public shops both dealing 6 at Bovada and MyBookie. So obviously the public side here is the Tar Heels. This total was on a rocket ship up from 160.5, touched 167.5 at some places, including Pinnacle. Now we're getting a little bit of buyback here to 165.5. What do you think about this one?
Well, I mean, you know, this total was going up to start with, and then Bruce Pearl went on Scott Van Pelt's show and said, take the over. And, you know, that everybody did. They took the over then, and that line went up immediately. This is an interesting game. I'm excited to watch this game. You know, I think I would lean toward North Carolina here on the side based on the fact that Auburn's weakness is defensive rebounding. And, you know, that's not a good weakness to have if you're playing against North Carolina. North Carolina goes after the offensive boards about as hard as anybody ever does. 70% of the bets on North Carolina, 74% of the money on North Carolina. About 50-50 on the bets on the over-under, but 68% of the money on the over. So there was definitely a sharp move there to the over. And like I said, I think that certainly Bruce Pearl saying take the over had something to do with that. You know, what would I do with the total here is the big question. And I will say, you know, you can check out my video preview of this. I did that for Bang the Book over there at YouTube. I said in that one, it's hard to say, but Auburn and North Carolina, I think I'd take the under if I had to take something on the total here. And as I said in the video, man, that would be the ultimate hold your nose bet. You know, do I want to take an under with North Carolina and Auburn? Of course not. You know, but you give me 165, 165 and a half. This is the Sweet 16. You know, this game means a lot. Even if both teams play pretty free here and get up and down the floor, you still have to make a decent amount of your shots. I'm not going to bet the under, but I wouldn't bet the over at 165 or 165 and a half either. I mean, it takes a lot to get to that high of a number, and any number of things could go wrong. So I think Auburn's made a good run here. Auburn, if they're making threes, they could certainly win this game. But I think there's more ways for North Carolina to win here than there are for Auburn. So more variance when you're shooting that many threes. And like I said, if Auburn's making a bunch of threes, then maybe they win this game. But to me, my lean here would be North Carolina. And I say that'd probably be my favorite play here would be North Carolina -5.5. If I had to take a side on the total, I would take the under. But like I said, it's hard for me to even think about taking an under with these two teams.
All right, so we look ahead to Saturday here, and of course the early game is lower in the rotation order. It's 683, 684, but I'm going to start with that one anyway. Texas Tech and Gonzaga. Gonzaga, 4-point favorite here for this one. Obviously out in Anaheim, low total for this game. Not a low total. Sorry, 137. Oh, I saw 127, but it's 137 for this one. Probably not a good sign for Texas Tech.
Well, I mean, this is a fascinating game. I would say that this is the one that, you know, matchup-wise, I'd really like to see this game the most of the two there on Saturday. Texas Tech, that tremendous defense, number one in the country in defensive efficiency. Gonzaga, number one in offensive efficiency. So you've got a great matchup. Mark Few against Chris Beard. I mean, tremendous coaching matchup. I'd be afraid to lay 4 points here with Gonzaga based on the fact that they play a weak schedule there in the conference season and they're going up against the number one defense. I would lean to Texas Tech here on the side. Always want to lean to the under in a game at this venue. I will say this number is pretty low. You know, if you're just making a raw number for this game, it would be higher than 137. I mean, there are reasons that you'd still want to take the under based on where it's played and how much this game means, but this game has been adjusted down, definitely. So I don't see any great value on the under. I think the key here is, you know, can those other guys for Texas Tech have a good enough game? Because I think Mark Few does a good job game planning here for Jarrett Culver. You know, in Texas Tech, obviously they're going to give Gonzaga a tougher time than most people have as far as Gonzaga's offense is not going to have an easy time of it. You know, to me, who wins the battle on the boards is pretty important here, and who turns it over less, you know, because both of these teams in their losses, they've had some turnover issues overall, though they've been pretty good at taking care of the basketball. Texas Tech was really good at taking care of the basketball last night, 8 turnovers last night. I know that was the first thing that Chris Beard said after the game was, you know, he talked about the importance of taking care of the basketball. I'm pretty sure that that's going to be his biggest key again here against Gonzaga. Why? Well, the number one reason is Gonzaga is so good when they force turnovers. at getting out and scoring immediately. You know, they, a couple quick passes and they have a layup. So Gonzaga is going to try to get out in transition as much as they can. They don't want Texas Tech to set up that defense. So this is a pace war game. I think Texas Tech wants to slow it down. Gonzaga wants to speed it up. I think probably my favorite lean here early on is Texas Tech plus the points.
All right, let me play devil's advocate for you here. You know, obviously Gonzaga doesn't play a good schedule in the West Coast Conference. They did play some decent non-conference games, you know, North Carolina among them, Duke among them as well. But here's my question. How many teams does Texas Tech face? And I know the Big 12 is vastly West Coast Conference. How many teams has Texas Tech faced with as many scoring options as Gonzaga has? Feels like offensively in the Big 12, teams are very top-heavy. You know, they've got one go-to guy like Texas Tech does with a Jarrett Culver, like Kansas State had with a Dean Wade, somebody like that. Feels like a lot of these Big 12 teams, they don't have a lot of scorers offensively. Gonzaga has a lot of them. So does that change the complexion of this game a little bit for Chris Beard, knowing that instead of shutting down one or maybe two guys, he's got, you know, three or four to really worry about?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and you know, this is an early lean of mine on Texas Tech. I'm not necessarily saying I'm betting Texas Tech, but I would say, you know, the biggest question mark here is, can they slow down Hachimura and Brandon Clark? Really, really good front court. I mean, Gonzaga has good players at all positions, but that front court is absolutely loaded. I think Brandon Clark's been far better than anybody thought he could be. And then Hachimura, everybody knows he's excellent. So, you know, yeah, I agree with you. I think the Big 12, you're not going to see teams with the kind of offensive firepower that Gonzaga has. I think you could really say that, you know, just about anywhere you're not going to see the kind of offensive firepower that Gonzaga has. And that's definitely a fair question. I think, you know, Gonzaga hasn't been used to playing a defense like this either. So, I mean, you can look at it either way. And I would say, you know, even with the fact that, you know, I think a raw number would be higher than this on the total, I would have to lean to the under based on the venue and then based on how much this means. I think Texas Tech has to know that they don't want to get into a track meet here. So, you know, just early leans here on Texas Tech plus the points. I do wonder where this line will go. You know, this is one where right now the action is very split. I know it was 4.5 last night. So I don't know. I think 4 is probably a fair number. Do you have any guesses to where this line will go?
It's tough because, you know, as you mentioned, you've got the strength of conferences that, you know, some people are going to bet based on that. You've got a Gonzaga team that's a lot more exciting than Texas Tech. Texas Tech's kind of boring. The public doesn't want to bet boring teams. So maybe they prefer Gonzaga. I think this one probably sits about where it is. I mean, I think that this is one game where the public could end up being pretty split. And if there is a sharp position, that's what will move the line.
Yeah, I think this line will probably stay about where it is. I think this is a good number, and it looks to me like, you know, there's probably not a side that the public is really going to prefer here. And like you said, we'll wait and see who the sharp players like here. Maybe that moves half a point or so, but I don't see any drastic move coming in this one. And, you know, I wouldn't expect the total to go up either based on how the low scoring games were there at Honda Center. So if you like the under, you probably want to go ahead and play it sooner rather than later.
All right. And speaking of, you know, games that will not become a track meet, Purdue and Virginia, 4.5, the number for Virginia, total 126 on this game. This is intriguing to me for a variety of different reasons, especially because Purdue, you know, late in the year did really button down their defensive efficiency, did kind of slow some games down. Virginia does that as well or better than anybody in terms of playing really slowly. So is this just one of those cases where Virginia just does everything a little bit better than Purdue?
Well, this is an interesting game because if you look at the spread here, the first thing I'll say is I would like Purdue plus 4.5 if I was taking a side here. As I watch Virginia throughout this tournament, and I watched a decent amount of their game last night, I keep thinking they can't keep winning every game this way. You know, they've got to be better on offense than what they've been. Kyle Guy is not shooting it well, and if he starts hitting threes, then obviously they could cover this number easily. I just think that, you know, Virginia winning these battles like they did against Oregon last night, that's not going to work against everybody. You know, the other offense is going to make some more shots than what they've, you know, gone up against so far. And Purdue has been really good here the last couple games. I think the jump from who Virginia has played so far in Gardner Webb, Oklahoma, and Oregon to Purdue is a pretty significant jump, you know, and that's the reason I like Purdue here plus 4.5. Purdue just played Villanova and just absolutely waxed them and then took out Tennessee, who was a very good team throughout the course of the season. I think Purdue comes into this game with plenty of motivation, momentum, you know, confidence certainly that they can do this. I don't think they're going to be, you know, thinking this team's too good for us. And Virginia is not really one of those teams that wins by a large margin that often. So I think laying 4.5 points with Virginia in a game with a total like this is certainly, you know, a bit of a scary thought to me. You know, I think that Virginia certainly could win this game, but I mean, they had a tough time beating Oregon by 4. And as much as Oregon's played well here of late, everybody knows that Purdue has the higher upside of those teams. So I guess you could say your question mark about Purdue would be, you know, can they keep making as many shots as they've been making? You know, you got Ryan Klein just absolutely out of his mind last night. I mean, that was what a shooting performance from him. And then Carson Edwards has played very well the last couple games, especially a couple games ago against Villanova. You know, can Matt Harms do a good enough job down low? You know, it's funny, you know, as I watched the game last night, I thought Matt Harms was not really playing very well. 7'3", and yet, you know, giving up a lot of offensive rebounds there. And you know, I'm sitting there watching the game with my wife last night, and she immediately asked, who is this 7'3" guy that keeps giving up offensive rebounds, you know, things like that. But, you know, this Purdue team is a good team. Matt Painter hasn't proven it in the postseason. I love Tony Bennett, but his teams haven't gone that far in the postseason either. So, you know, who do you want to trust in this game? Like I said, I'd take the 4.5, so I was taking the side here.
All right, so we've reached the speculation point of the show here, trying to figure out what we want to do or what we want what we expect the matchups to look like, I should say, and what the lines will look like for Sunday's 2 Elite Eight games. So, in the East region, Duke a big favorite against Virginia Tech, Michigan State a big favorite against LSU. We would expect Duke and Michigan State to move on. So with that in mind, what does your number look like for Duke and Michigan State, and what are your initial thoughts on it?
Well, that'd be a great game. I mean, Michigan State is highly respected. You know, this is a team that Duke is not going to be laying much of a number against Michigan State. Duke -1.5, Duke -2, something like that. I don't think you can put Duke -3.5 or 4 points like you would against a normal team. I mean, the Sharps would definitely take the points with Michigan State in that kind of situation. So I'd say -2, -1.5 would be a fair number. As far as the total, you know, 150, 149, somewhere in that range. I'm probably 149 based on, you know, where they are in the tournament and how important that game is. You know, as far as who I would like in that game, you know, if I got enough points, I would lean toward Michigan State. I think it'd be a really close game. You know, if you're only getting 1.5 points or 2 points, then it's a lot harder. I think that, you know, Duke presents trouble for everybody down in the paint. You know, Michigan State, even, you know, with their good interior defense, will still have a hard time with Zion Williamson and the front court of Duke. The question mark would be, how does Duke stop Winston? You know, Winston's been really good for Michigan State, and Duke's guards need to be really good. I know Trey Jones is a really good defender. First of all, I just think that'd be a great matchup. You know, as a fan, I hope we see that game, because that's a game I'd really like to see.
All right, so if Duke is -1.5 or -2 against Michigan State, are you putting them probably in the 7.5-8 range against LSU then?
Yeah, you know, that may be, you know, 7.5, seven, maybe 7 or 7.5. I think if LSU would win that game, they might get a little bit of a bump. So say probably 7 or 7.5. And I think that that's a tough matchup for LSU. You know, I think that Duke certainly would have a easier path there if Michigan State is out of the way. So, you know, not that Duke necessarily roots for certain teams, but, you know, if you were from the outside looking in, you'd rather play LSU than you would Michigan State if you're Duke.
All right, so if Virginia Tech pulls the upset, what sorts of Elite Eight numbers are we looking at for the Hokies against either LSU or Michigan State?
So So Virginia Tech, to me, like I said, is a team that has a high upside with Justin Robinson. Virginia Tech would definitely be favored against LSU. Probably Virginia Tech minus 2.5 or 3 against LSU. Virginia Tech against Michigan State, to me, that's probably about the toughest number to make. I think that Virginia Tech is a team that, you know, Justin Robinson, like I say, gives them a really high upside. I don't know that Virginia Tech is good enough on the interior to beat Michigan State, though. And, you know, Michigan State, like we said, you know, so good defending the two-point shot. Virginia Tech would have to be making their shots from outside. They are a good shooting team. I think Michigan State would probably be -4 or 4.5 against Michigan State. And in a game like that, I would probably lean toward Virginia Tech plus the points. I do think Virginia Tech's upside is very high. I would probably lean to the under in that game as well, because I think it'd probably be in the 137.5, 137 range. And, you know, if that's the case, I think both teams are so good defensively, and neither team will be pushing the pace too much. So I would probably lean to Virginia Tech in the under.
All right, so from D.C. we go to KC for the Midwest. North Carolina and Kentucky are the favorites here tonight. If we get that matchup in the Elite Eight, obviously it's tough to set a number with P.J. Washington's status. What would the number be with Washington? What would it be without him if he is able to go on Sunday and if those two teams advance?
Oh, man, yeah. Washington makes a big difference, but I really honestly don't think he's going to be 100% no matter what. So, you know, I don't think that it's going to be what the line fully could be, even if he tries to play, because it seems like he's not going to be 100%. You know, North Carolina would be favored in that game. If Washington's fairly healthy and plays pretty well in the game before that, then, you know, that's about the best you could hope for if you're Kentucky. I think that, you know, North Carolina would likely be favored with a fairly healthy Washington by 1.5 points against Kentucky. And, you know, if he's not healthy, then North Carolina is likely favored by 3, 3.5 points, probably 3. You know, you can't make them more than a 3-point favorite against a defense like Kentucky. North Carolina is not going to be able to, you know, dominate on the boards like they do against a normal team. And I would think, first of all, that'd be a great game, North Carolina and Kentucky. Anytime those blue bloods get together, that's a great game. My lean in that game would probably be the under. I think Kentucky's defense would bother North Carolina enough that you wouldn't quite have as high a scoring game as what you normally see in a North Carolina game. And obviously the total would still be fairly high.
All right, so if Auburn can knock off North Carolina, they lost twice to Kentucky during the regular season, by 2 at home, by a whole bunch on the road. They lost by 27 to Kentucky on the road. So what does that number look like if Auburn pulls the upset and faces Kentucky?
Well, you know, with Washington was healthy in those games, and he wouldn't be healthy 100% here either way, I don't think. And you've got an Auburn team that's playing their best basketball of the season. I will say, I think Kentucky is a difficult matchup for them. You know, like I said, Auburn's defensive rebounding is their biggest weakness, and Kentucky's really good on the offensive glass. So, you know, I think Kentucky's got to be favored no matter what. You know, if Washington plays and is in pretty good shape, then Kentucky's favored by, you know, at least 3 points. I think it's probably would be a smaller number than that based on the fact that I don't think he'll be totally healthy. And I also think that Auburn's going to get a bit of a bump if they beat North Carolina, because they've been playing so well. So I would say this line would probably be in the, you know, Kentucky -2 range.
So let's say Houston pulls the upset. I presume they're a dog against either North Carolina or Auburn, a dog of certainly different sizes there. What would those numbers look like on Sunday?
Yeah, I'd say Houston, Auburn would be a pretty tight number. I mean, you know, this is a Auburn team that does rely on the three pretty heavily. You know, I would say that Auburn-Houston, I don't know, Auburn would probably be favored by what, a point, 1.5? I mean, it couldn't be by very much. So, you know, because at that point, if it was Auburn and Houston, both of them would have pulled an upset. Both of them are getting some extra, you know, love from the public based on the fact that they just won that game before. So I think Auburn and Houston would be a pretty interesting matchup too, because Houston, you know, not a tremendous rebounding team, a pretty good rebounding team, but, you know, Auburn making those threes, Houston's very good at defending threes. So I think I would probably lean toward Houston in a game, Auburn and Houston. And I think Auburn would probably get the public backing there based on who they would have just beat in the game before if they win. So I think Auburn would probably be the public side. I'd probably like to be on Houston in that kind of matchup.
All right, what about Houston and North Carolina?
So Houston, North Carolina, I think that Houston would have a difficult time against North Carolina. They certainly would rather see Auburn in that game. North Carolina would be a decent size favorite. I'd say North Carolina minus 4 or 4.5 against Houston, probably 4.5. Houston is a good team, like I said, but, they have not played the type of teams that North Carolina has consistently throughout the course of the season. And even though their rebounding numbers look pretty good, I'm pretty confident that North Carolina would beat them on the boards. I think North Carolina has played some really good basketball here of late. You know, they've been about as impressive as anybody in the country here. And I wouldn't be excited to go against North Carolina.
Kyle Hunter, professional handicapper over at huntersportspicks.com. Lots of great breakdowns here, not just on this show, but also throughout the season. We'll do one more with him next week to talk about the Final Four. In the meantime, you can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Hunter Picks. And, of course, check out huntersportspicks.com, the daily article at bangthebook.com, the videos on our Bang the Book YouTube page. What's going on huntersportspicks.com right now, man?
Oh, there's a lot going on because, it's a busy time of the year. That overlap between baseball and basketball is a lot bigger than it used to be. I mean, I have to say it's kind of a difficult thing that when there's, two weeks or so with college basketball still going on with baseball. As a fan, I love it. As a handicapper, it's difficult, but lots going on there. So if you want to buy a premium package, now's the time that you'll be getting plenty of plays. 125 and 88 on the season in college basketball. So it's been a really good season. I'll try to finish it out strong here. You can also sign up for that free picks newsletter there at huntersportsfix.com, where you will get some free picks and special offers, contests, things like that.
Well, I've also had a lot of people asking me either via email or some other medium about baseball handicappers that I recommend. And of course, you do a great job with totals in baseball. You've had some very good baseball seasons here lately as well. What about some options for that?
Yeah, baseball season, I've got the early bird pass up right now. I think it's 575 or 550 I had it at. That's a season's worth. I'm also doing a totals package. If you only want totals for $3.99, you can mention the Bang the Book special for totals. If you want that one, you can message me, Kyle at huntersportspicks.com or at Kyle Hunter Picks on Twitter. Baseball's certainly been a strong sport for me. Flat betting up 94 units since 2010. So, one unit per play. It's easy to say you're up a bunch of units if you're saying, well, each play is 20 units or something like that. But, flat betting one unit up 94 units. So it's been a strong sport for me. And I will say baseball is one of those sports where I don't have a big split between sides and totals. I do like the money line aspect of baseball versus the spread.
So there you go. Kyle Hunter Picks on Twitter, Kyle at huntersportspicks.com if you want to take advantage of any of those things. Kyle, appreciate the time as always, man. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
There you go. There's Kyle Hunter, huntersportspicks.com, daily at bangthebook.com as well. Coming up on Monday, another edition of the Bettors Box along with a Monday mailbag segment. So if you've got questions for the Monday mailbag, hit me up on Twitter at SkatingTripods. You can hit me up via email, adam@bangthebook.com. Doesn't have to be a baseball question. It can be anything that you want to ask about. Certainly, with the subject matter of the show, baseball makes the most sense. But if you want to ask me about something else, a lot of things are fair game. So, again, at Skating Tripods on Twitter or adam@bangthebook.com. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And I will talk to you again on Monday.